Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you're new in exploring the Beloved City Church family, or maybe you're new to exploring faith and spirituality, welcome. We truly believe here at Beloved that you can belong before you believe. And so we're glad that you are here with us today. At Beloved, we are so passionate about growing a thriving and life-giving church where you and your family can flourish spiritually and relationally. We absolutely believe that everybody needs Jesus and everybody needs a home. That you can belong before you believe in. It's okay. You can both meaningfully receive and valuably contribute as a member of the spiritual family while you continue your journey, me too, of hope and healing. So we exist as a church to lead people to know God, to know Jesus intimately, and to grow in freedom from those things that we experience that just don't bring life in our lives. And we exist to lead people to in discovering their God-given purposes on this earth. And to invite people as well to come alongside us and let's make a difference together in this city and in our circles of influence. So if you'll open your Bibles here, your smartphones, if you have the opportunity, pull out your notebooks. I believe God wants to teach us today. Holy Spirit, soften our hearts and open our ears as you seed the Word of God into our lives. And that we might hear and understand and see and have experienced revelation, God, of what you're saying to the church today in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on week two, friends, of this sermon series, Beautiful People. And we are launching into the Sermon on the Mount, also known as Jesus' Declaration of the Kingdom. This is out of Matthew 5. And we're exploring Matthew 5, 6, and 7. What my kingdom is all about is what Jesus is saying. And today we will continue immersing ourselves in this series of blessings that Jesus uses to introduce his teachings on the kingdom of God through our exploration of what we call the Beatitudes. Much like the earliest followers of Jesus, the sermon by Jesus was a radically different agenda than what the then nation of Israel expected from the Messiah. Israel, the people of God, right? Hebrew people as found in scriptures, what we're talking about. The Sermon on the Mount did not present the political or material blessings of the Messiah's reign as one might have hoped. Instead, it expresses the spiritual implications of Jesus' rule in our lives, revealing how we can live or will live when Jesus is our Lord, when Jesus is our forgiver and our leader. See, the Sermon on the Mount does not deal with salvation as such, but it lays out for both the disciple, the student of Jesus, and the potential students of Jesus, how regarding Jesus as King of our lives translates into changed ethics and daily living. Now, I believe it is clear throughout the New Testament scriptures, the Gospels and the Epistles, that this Sermon on the Mount had a significant impact on the early church as the earliest followers of Jesus, who make constant reference to it, and their lives actually display the glory of radically transformed followers of Jesus throughout the entire New Testament. Beloved church family, I also believe that we too can and will see how radically different the values of God's kingdom are compared to the values of our culture. And that we too can respond to the invitation to follow Jesus, allowing his teachings to also transform and reshape our lived out ethics and values, our felt and experienced culture of beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. Now, our teaching today will not be exhaustive in any way, right? We encourage you to come alongside us in our city groups this week. Join a group. Together we will endeavor to unpack, to dig deeper, right? To go to a deeper degree beyond the 1 hour on Sunday or beyond the 1 hour online. This is part of our discipleship track here at Beloved City Church and how we intentionally engage in the life and ministry together as we hope to see you in this week's city group. So this is how we grow as a body, friends. So let's jump into the portion of scripture reading for today in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. It says this, Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. And his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And as Jesus preached them this message, Jesus was seated. This is what's going on. He was adopting the customary posture of teaching as any rabbi in that day did. So then the preacher would sit and the audience would stand, different than our customs and traditions today. But Jesus preached to his disciples. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you because or persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, he says, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So here is this question. What does it mean to be blessed? Now, I don't know about you, but blessed today is especially noticeable when you have when you take a look at Instagram and search up the hashtag, right? Hashtag blessed, and you will find a lot of pictures and captions that portray and define one's life as blessed by, whether it be riches or popularity or by power, or you'll see people celebrating their new Jordans or new J's or making the team, passing an exam, traveling to world-class destinations, blessed, right? Blessed, dating a person who is pretty and maybe popular, having an espresso on a beach like me, pictures of our kids, our new puppy, we're blessed. But if you were to ask Jesus who he calls blessed, what I think is interesting is it seems as though you would get a vastly different answer or picture. Based off what we just read, according to Jesus, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, people that are crying out for justice, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted for Christ's sake. Based on every measure of success, the people that Jesus calls blessed are those that our world will often see as less than. So here's the question, what does it mean to be blessed then? Because I think it's really interesting how different Jesus' understanding of being blessed is than our modern world's view or our even church and culture views it as. Jesus sets forth both the nature and the aspirations of citizens of his kingdom, the beautiful people of his kingdom. They have and are learning these character traits. And all of these character traits are marks of discipleship and goals of all Christians, Jesus followers. Similarly, to the fruit of the Spirit, it's not as if we can major in one of these character traits to the exclusion of the others, as in the case with spiritual gifts. There's no escape, friends, from our responsibility to covet every one of these spiritual attributes. It's beautiful. If one was to claim to be a Jesus follower, but displays and desires none of these traits, you may rightly wonder about their salvation or their followership, right? Their oneness in Christ. Because they do not have nor display the characteristics of beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. But also, if one was to claim to have mastered these attributes even, right, the flip side of this, you may just as well question their honesty. Beautiful people are being conformed into the likeness of God or likeness of Christ. And this is done and completed by the grace of God and the process that we're walking through when we're willing. See, grace is not opposed to working, though. It's opposed to earning. God's grace is truthfully working in us to transform our ethics and our character, all for the sake of others, for the sake of his kingdom on display through us as ambassadors of his kingdom. Beautiful people. So back to the question, what does it mean to be blessed? The Greek word translated to blessing in this text is makairos. And this word can also be translated also as happy or fortunate, favored and privileged. So to help you better understand this, if you were to use these other words, it might look like this. Jesus is saying, hey, happy are the poor in spirit. Fortunate are those who mourn. Favored are the meek. And privileged are those who cry out for justice. But hopefully by now, you're recognizing that we have a problem with this because this makes no sense to us. According to the way we view blessing in our world, and even in our church today. And I also believe it is important for us to recognize the disconnect between what Jesus is saying and what all of us, what I believe all of us believe sometimes and have quite possibly have experienced. What Jesus is saying isn't just something that shocks us in our modern world view. As a matter of fact, to Jesus's original audience, these words of blessing would have been called offensive. Like just imagine for a moment being a Jewish citizen in the first century. You're a member of Israel, God's chosen nation. But the problem is that your entire world has been dominated by Roman oppression, right? Like you're supposed to be in the people of God, but all you've ever known is Roman occupation and an empire that is just about every single way stands opposed to the things of God. An empire that believes might makes right, power. That if you've got the power, then you are the man or the woman of the hour kind of thing. An empire that is, in almost every single way, only values and elevates those with status, wealth, and power. Kind of sounds similar to today as well. An empire that sees everyone else as less than if they're not powerful, wealthy, and with status. Friends, can you imagine growing up in a world like that? Can you imagine what it would be like to trying to reconcile reality with the belief that God is good and that He cares? Like, how do you do that when everything in your world is just giving you more and more reasons to believe that either God doesn't care or God doesn't even exist? Until one day, you hear about this ragged rabbi from Nazareth. This dude is walking about and talking about the kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. And now, for the most part, if you were to hear about some rabbi telling ridiculous stories and making crazy claims, you probably wouldn't pay much attention to it, right? But there was something different about Jesus, because along with the message that he was preaching, there was something radically different about him and the way he lived his life. But also that Jesus was performing miracles. The radical performance of miracles was happening in Christ. He was healing the sick. He was giving sight to the blind and casting out demons. And there's something about the way he talks and that he teaches that stands in stark contrast to the religious leaders of our world. Now, there's something about Jesus that just communicates integrity and authority, and people can't help but want to hear what he has to say and to follow him. And so eventually, your curiosity gets the best of you as you hear all these rumors and rumblings that this Jesus just may be the Messiah, the rescuer, the long-awaited chosen one of Israel that your people have been waiting for, the one that was chosen and foretold of by God, that he would deliver the people of Israel from the Roman Empire and restore your nation to its former glory. Could Jesus really be this person? Because he came preaching and proclaiming that the kingdom of God had come near. And so you go with the rest of the crowds that are gathering from all around the countryside to listen to what he has to say. And so this Jesus sits down on a mountain, he begins to teach, and here's what he says. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. And I can just imagine being in that audience, standing up as he sits down and listening to Jesus and thinking, bro, I'm not even blessed. I'm persecuted. My life is the definition of oppressed. I've been pushed down by the Roman Empire. I've had tax collectors taking advantage of me. I can't even worship in the temple of God because the religious leaders have so corrupted it. How dare you call us blessed, Jesus? You don't even know what it's like. But yet, what's crazy is this. By the time Jesus finishes teaching, the crowd will be amazed because he spoke like nobody else had spoken before. So what does it mean to be blessed, friends? Well, I believe it has something to do with being happy, fortunate, favored, and privileged. But based off of the list that Jesus has given us, it kind of seems like what he is saying is doesn't really line up with reality. So what is it that he's trying to do? I think that's the next logical question that we should probably be asking, right? Like, why is Jesus beginning the sermon with this list of blessings that makes no sense at all? I think what Jesus is trying to do, friends, is paint a picture of what the world is like when God is in charge. Jesus is trying to show us that when heaven and earth come together, society is shaped like a place where those who are the least, the last, and the lost are called blessed. I think Jesus is trying to comfort some of us to confront others of us, to commission all of us. And he's trying to comfort those of us who have been pushed down by our modern culture, right? He wants us to recognize that life in the kingdom of God is built on a bedrock of blessings, to help us understand the very foundation of God's kingship, the very foundation of his rule and his reign is built on blessing, on grace and on love and on things that we just don't deserve and that we cannot earn. You see, when Jesus is laying out this vision for heaven on earth, he begins with blessing because it's not a list of how-tos, but it's announcements. It is an announcement, friend, of good news. And I believe that this list of blessings are good news to people who are desperate for it. I believe they're good news for people like you and I and for Kevin, who shared his Jesus story last week in person. People whose lives haven't been easy. People who have struggled financially to the point of homelessness or extended periods of joblessness. People who have wrestled with identity to the point of suicidal ideations. And people who have experienced overwhelming sexual lust. People like you and I, friends, and many of the ones that you have interacted with or are interacting with on a daily basis. People who have been victims of repeated sexual abuse and physical violence, people who have been plucked up and out of messy lives, planted into a family, given gifts from God, and clothed with his righteousness, not of our own doing, friends, but of the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. Beautiful people who through faith are pieces of heaven, kingdom of heaven, citizens here and now, have found life and life everlasting and new hope and new destiny, fresh vision and dreams, have found your people, found a place to belong and a purpose that is so much bigger than whatever you and I could have ever imagined before coming to know Jesus in an intimate and tangible way. Each of you here would be able to tell a story after story of tragedy and shame and brokenness, hurt and confusion, and of many more challenging difficulties that you've experienced, right? And yet I know that even through these experiences, they have helped me to learn, to grow. And like many of you have found such hope and healing, hope for my tomorrow and healing from my yesterdays in ways that I can have compassion and empathy for other people who are going through really difficult times. And this is exactly what Jesus wants all of us to recognize in this sermon on blessings, that life as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven is built on foundations, built on a solid rock of blessing. This is why he begins the manifesto of what life according to God's will is supposed to look like, with blessing after blessing after blessing. He does it to comfort some of us and to confront others of us. Because the thing about the kingdom of God is that the values of God's kingdom are radically different from the values of our culture. Our host culture is all about, hey, are you worthy or wealthy or sexy or powerful? Or have you've got this all figured out, right? The autonomous self, I've got this. But Jesus says, happy and blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek. Friends, I truly believe that this message still confronts us as Jesus followers today, who are relatively wealthy comparing to the rest of the world, who see ourselves as independents living fairly comfortable lives, free healthcare and educated, working decent careers, nearly everything that we could ask for at our fingertips. I was born and raised in Canada. My family is an average middle-class family, and really for the most part, my life has been relatively easy and comfortable. Had a decent school to go to, roof over my head, my own bed, food on the table, reasonably healthy, right? Now married to my beautiful and smart wife, Angela, and who experienced a similar upbringing. We have two healthy, amazing young adult kids, children. We have a decent home to live in and a car to drive around in, and have an excellent job where I get to teach people about Jesus and provide counseling services to people from all walks of life. Like on almost every measure that our culture calls blessed, you and I can both check the boxes. But who does Jesus call blessed? And I think this is so important for those of us who have had lives like mine that are comfortable, that are easy, that are privileged, that life as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven is not defined by the values of our culture, but is defined by the values of God's kingdom, where those who have been pushed aside, who have been passed over, are called blessed. Yet I believe what Jesus wants to do in us is to confront those of us who are comfortable in our culture with the reality that the more comfortable that we are, the less we actually crave God's kingdom. And so this is so important for us to wrap our minds around. There's this moment later on in Jesus's ministry where this dude who's really rich and wealthy comes to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, go and sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. This man walks away terribly sad because he had a lot of things. And so Jesus turns to his followers and he says, man, I'll tell you what. It is really hard for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Truly, yes, I tell you, it is more difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel, the animal, to fit through the eye of a needle, right? Why is it so difficult? Why is our values cloud our judgments and abilities to follow? Jesus is trying to paint this picture to shock his audience into the recognition that the more comfortable that we are in our culture, the less we will crave God's kingdom. That for those of us who have easy and privileged lives, if we are not aware of our need for God's kingdom, then we will miss out on the calling that God has extended to every single one of us. Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mountain, these three chapters that we will be exploring are clearly defining for us what it looks like when God's in charge with blessing after blessing after blessing. Why? Because he wants to comfort some of us. And he wants to confront others of us. And I believe he wants to commission all of us friends. He wants to invite us to be an integral part of this mission that he is on, bringing blessings of God to every corner of creation. Jesus wants to invite us to be the beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now, where the last become first and the least become most, and where the lost are found. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ, the spiritual family of God's, and everybody's invited in. Everybody needs Jesus and everyone needs a home, friends. This is a story about what life is like when Jesus is king. This is a story about what life is like when we, as the followers, choose to live as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. When we allow and permit these blessings to comfort those of us who are desperate for comfort. When we allow these words to confront those of us who are comfortable in our modern world. When we've recognized that what Jesus is doing is he is calling us to a task. He's hired us, per se, commissioned us to be part of his great rescue plan to bring blessings to the entire world, to all of the world that we are planted. When we recognize that the kingdom of God is a place where the last become first, the least become most, and the lost are found. This is what it looks like when Jesus is king, friends. Now, N.T. Wright, who is a historian and theologian, says it this way. He says, this is what it looks like today when Jesus is running the world. This is, after all, what he told us to expect. The poor in spirit will be making the kingdom of heaven happen. The meek will be taking over the earth so gently the powerful people won't notice until it's too late. The peacemakers will be putting the arms manufacturers out of business. Those who are hungry and thirsty for justice will be analyzing government policy and legal rulings and speaking up on behalf of those at the bottom of the pile. The merciful will be surprising everybody by showing that there's a different way of doing human relationships than being judgmental and eager to put everyone else down. Jesus was announcing a program yet to be completed. He was inviting us, his heroes, then and now, to join him in making this happen. This is quite simply what it looks like when Jesus is enthroned, friends. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we get to be part of a community of believers that are committed to seeking after you with every part of who we are, our hearts, our souls, and our minds, and all of our strengths. And we thank you that you came announcing a kingdom that is a good one, that is good news, a place where we all are welcomed, where we all are accepted, where we can belong, where we are seen and loved by you. Thanks, Jesus. Now, friends, what I know is right now there are probably some of you, as you're hearing this message today, you realize you're desperate for good news. That maybe you've been a part of church for a while, or this is the first time you've shown up in forever, and you realize that this is a place that you want to call your home. And not only that, you want to be an integral part of helping other people find their homes in the kingdom of God as well. You desire to be a beautiful person who lives according to the values of God's kingdom, not the values of our culture. And you want God's help to do that. If that's you, would you for a moment pray with us? I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have called people like us to be part of your mission here, of bringing blessing to all the world. God, I pray for every single one of us listening today online that we would be so invested in this community of believers, so invested in your kingdom that we would know this is a place that we can belong, that we can invite others into belong, that we would discover who it is that you've made us to be, our identity in you, and that we would participate in the calling that you've created us for, to make a difference here in this city and in the lives of others. God, give us your wisdom, I pray today. Help us to practice the discipline of doing the work of pursuing you day in and day out in Jesus' name. What I know, there's also likely others of you that you're hearing this message for the first time. You're hearing about this person named Jesus and you're intrigued, but you're still not sure what to do with it. What I hope you'll understand is that Jesus came for people like you. Jesus came for people with questions. He came for people that have been hurt. He came for people that weren't sure where they belonged, right? Or if they even mattered. But the good news, friends, of the gospel, the good news of the Christian story is that in the beginning, God created everything as an act of love. He created you and I in his image so that we could be in relationship with him for all of eternity. But the problem is that all of us, we've sinned. We've done things that hurt ourselves, others, and the heart of God. And that sin created a separation between us and him. That sin is the cause of every wrong thing in our world today. But by the grace of God, friends, God was not okay with that problem continuing to exist. So he set a plan into action to reunite us to him. And that took the form of God becoming man. And that man was named Jesus. He walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect life. And then he was sacrificed on a cross so that everybody who puts their trust in God will be saved. And the thing is that Jesus did not stay dead. As a matter of fact, he conquered death, he conquered sin, he conquered the devil so that all of us could be made new. We could be made whole, friends, and then we could be invited into God's plan to make a difference. And I believe that's exactly why you're here right now, to say yes to the grace of Jesus, to step into a relationship with your Heavenly Father, to turn from your sins and to turn towards Him. If that's you and you're saying, yes, I want to be in relationship with Jesus, I want to be made new. Jesus, today I give you my life. If that's you, would you pray with me now? I don't want to embarrass you at all, but I want to just pray with you. So can you pray with me like this? Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for the hearts and hands, Lord, that have been lifted around the room today. Thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and my shame, healing me of my hurt and my brokenness. I choose in this moment to receive you, this extravagant gift of life and healing, and ask you to come and live in my heart and be the Lord and leader of my entire life. I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your spirit and help me to live the life that you died to give me. Show me how to activate your word in my life, your truth, Lord, in scripture. Reveal to us where we can walk in the freedom that you have designed us to walk in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, friends, thank you so much. If you just prayed that prayer with me for today and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader or recommit your life to following Jesus, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. Hey, if you'd like to take your next step to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized as Jesus commanded, he who believes and baptized shall be saved, Jesus says, let us know. We would love to walk that out with you. At Beloved, we are passionate about what God has called us to do in this city, and that is to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around him, making an impact for eternity both in us and others. Will you take a step today to partner with us at Beloved City Church? Help us grow the day-to-day ministries of Beloved City. Here's how. Join our Big Table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next Family Discovery Night. Discover what it means to be a family member of this local church. Next, join the Grow team and help serve others. Work alongside a team here at Beloved. Let's make an impact together with our gifts and skills as we continue to practice living, giving, serving, and loving like Jesus. And last but not least, friends, will you respond today as an act of worship to God with your finances by partnering with us, by giving financially at Beloved City Church? Help us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city, in Jesus' name. See you this week in your city groups. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you this week in such a beautiful way. Amen.